All right, y'all come on in. This is the regain call. So, anybody that has been experiencing a regain and you would like some help, this is the call to get you help. As Logan used to say, get you help. He was a little bowler when he was a little kid and like bowled all the time. If you don't know, Chris and I, we drink out of these Evian bottles and been doing it for years. And when he was little, we used to stack them like bowling pins, and he had this ball that he would bowl, and he would, just over and over again. He'd go down there and he'd do it. And then if he left a couple pins up, he would always be like, "You need to get you help." He would bowl again. So every time I say that, it always just reminds me of Logan when he was little. All right. Anybody who wants coaching, you need to raise your hand because as of right now, I don't have one single regainer that needs any help, even though I've got a bunch of you here sitting back, just I guess hoping and praying that somebody else falls on my sword so that you don't have to. Now, let me say this because I still finally somebody, Mary's got her hand raised. I'll say this and then we'll get to coaching Mary. There is a brand new regain course. I just redid it. It's called the Restart, Restart. And I highly recommend you go through it because it's going to talk about like part of a regain before you can lose the weight is to figure out like what are you making it mean about yourself? You've got to rewrite that piece because if you're sitting there beating yourself up and stuff, it's really hard to start back because now you're eating to deal with all your self-loathing. And what you think about it, we all are emotional eaters here at NoBS. That's why we're here. And if you're beating yourself up, you're generating a lot of emotion that your brain is going to think we should eat over to take care of ourselves. So we have to heal that piece first. I don't think that anybody can lose their weight if they have a bastard relationship with the regain. And we're going to need to understand it. Why did it come back? Like, not the weight, but like, I want you to think about the weight came, like, some weight came back for a reason. And it was because either I was going through a tough season. I noticed that when I was losing weight the first time, I didn't have to go through these big challenges. And when I went through some big challenges, guess what? My brain did what it always does. It goes back to coping mechanisms. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got to call the fire department. There's a fire. And if you don't have, like, a bucket of water to throw on it, it's going to want to call the fire department. So regains are always explainable. And then if you go to the restart or the reset, inside of it, there's an 8-week plan and an 8-week planner that goes specifically with it. I redesigned the whole thing for you. And I would just go through it and take the time to layer those habits back in. I always tell y'all, and you will hear this in the call, that a lot of you think you're starting over. You're not starting over. You never are. You can't unring the bell in your head. So if you lost weight with no BS because you got good at planning and you got good at hunger and you got good at enough and stuff, your brain created all of those neural pathways. And then as you got good at that, your brain retired temporarily your old neural pathways of coping and things like that. Lots of the habits around your eating. But they're there. They can be turned back on. They just have to be flipped on like a light switch. So if something big happens to where like emotional eating comes back or there was a reason why something happened, your brain turns down the lights of the new neural pathways, turns those back on so you can land the plane of whatever's going on in your life. Which means you've already done the hard work. You've already done the work of laying down neural pathways of habits. You don't have to lay that down again. All that work's done. We just have to do the work of turning them back on. And in order to turn them back on, we have to understand what's standing between us and doing that. What is the payoff of continuing to eat right now? Sometimes the payoff, a lot of times y'all move through a tough season of life and the emergency's over, but because you lit those habits back up, they don't know to go back off until you restart them. So sometimes it's just a matter of like, oh, this is just going to be hard because I'm just used to now eating this old way again. I've got to fire these back up. And in a few days, my brain will light those back up. That won't be a problem. It's just tough for a few days. Then the other thing is that those lights can't come back on if the emotional season of your life is over, but now you're in the emotional season of I'm a fuck up because I gained my weight. I'm scared to death. I'm never going to lose it. If you're creating a new emotional drama, guess what? Your brain's like, I can't retire these habits. These are your coping mechanisms. And right now we're coping with all your shame. So we have to work on that. Otherwise, your brain is like, it's not safe to let it go. It's not safe to turn on the new stuff. Not until this part's healed. All right, Mary, we're going to coach you and we'll see what happens. How can we best stay accountable for each of the weeks? Send in our weekly summary to ask coaches or post in the Facebook group. Both, you can do either one. In fact, in the program, I tell you that I give you something that's a summary, and I actually say in the program, I'd summarize what happened this week and I'd take it to ask coaches and show them. I think it's actually in the program to just go take your happy ass on over there. Staying accountable, though, is like one of those things that's just like, why would you like y'all need to ask yourself, why don't I want to just be accountable to myself? Like, there's getting help and ask coaches, but if you're like, I need someone to hold me accountable, I would ask myself, why don't I want me to be that person? It's usually because you want somebody else doing it because they won't yell at you, they won't act like an ass, and they won't be crazy when you make a mistake. It's like if you came to me and you were messing up about, well, let's work through it, let's figure this out, blah, blah, blah. You come to you when you make a mistake. It's like, you son of a bitch, what are you doing? So make sure that to hold yourself accountable, you have to hold yourself accountable in a way you would want to be held accountable. And that's retraining your brain. All right, Mary, tell me the things.
I had on mute.
You're good. You're good.
So the past 3 months, I have been doing pretty well as far as following my plan. And I'm gonna move into the other room. Sorry. Oh, never mind. He's moving into the other room.
Okay.
So I'm a regain. In the last few years, I had a regain. But following the plan, it's almost like I feel like it's too easy. Like I've lost 33 pounds, and I keep telling myself it's because I had surgery 3 months ago and for my knee. And I'm thinking, okay, the surgery for your knee is done and over. It's 12 weeks almost. And, it's because you're following a food plan and because you're doing the no BS work that you're losing the weight, not because you had surgery. 12 weeks ago, my thinking is like sometimes I go to that, or what I'm finding now is I'm baking for neighbors and stuff, is that I want to say, oh, I'll just have one cookie, and I'll put it on my plan. So I added in, I guess my and I did listen to the reset, the regain. I really liked it a lot. So that has totally helped me as far as like stopping myself and thinking like, do I really want that, or do I need one of my protein shakes, which is what I just made, instead, because that kind of got me pause, notice what you're saying to your head, what your brain is telling you, and what you know you want in the future. I hit my 10 pounds that, to lose 10 pounds before the new year. And now I'm like, okay, I don't want to start thinking that I have a free fall from now until the new year. So I still
That's
have,
good that you recognize that.
I still have that thinking like all the,
Everybody does.
yeah, okay.
Like the problem isn't like y'all do this all the time. It's just like such nonsense. Y'all think because you have those thoughts, it's like that must be a problem. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think that's really normal. If you've done that in the past, don't you kind of want your brain to say, like, now, Mary, let's not have a free fall all the way to New Year's? I mean, I kind of would want my brain to be like, just letting you know, in the past, you've done this. Would you like to do it different this time? I'm like, well, yes, I would, brain. Thank you. I would totally like to do it different. I appreciate the reminder. rather
Yeah.
than like my brain thinks this, oh my God, I still think these things? Is something wrong with me?
Yeah, it's true. This is true. I do have to say thank you because I think between you and the members, it's really kind of clicked now, and I am like feeling like in a better place. Like in the morning session when I think it was Susie was talking, I could relate to some of that because when I had lost the weight, it was 8 years ago, and now it's like you're not feeling as good as you did physically now. And are you ever going to be able to get back there? Because now you got new knees, and now you, and so I do some of that thought process, and it's probably where I need to go to coaches. That's one step. I have taken little steps, but then the follow through doesn't always happen. So
Why
those
do you
are some
not
of
just
the,
go to the coaches?
I think that sometimes I just kind of work it out like in my own head, or I'll journal and write about it, and then I just think, well,
If you
what.
solve it, you don't need to go there. And you don't need to even feel like you didn't. Like, I would caution myself on saying, I don't follow through. It's like if it's just like with me, I have a coach myself. We talk every 2 weeks. We used to talk weekly. For 6 years, we talked weekly because I couldn't go more than a week without talking to her. Otherwise, I'd be a basket case. Then, after 6 years of working with her, I was like, a lot of things I work out on my own. So I told her, I said, I think I'm really ready to go to biweekly. I just don't have enough to bring you every week. And we agreed. And so sometimes, though, something will come up and I'll think, I really should ask, I should really reach out to Bev. I know that if I message Bev, she'll help me work through this. And the day will go on and I won't message her, but I've thought about it. And by the time I get to where I want to message her, I have kind of worked it out in my head because I've worked so many things out. Like, there's a period where I don't know, and then there's a period where I do know. So that's not a like follow through issue. That is a, I should probably give myself credit for being smarter than I think I am. So it's just really careful for you to just notice that there are times maybe I don't follow through on things. I wonder why that is. And there are times I'm calling it not following through when it's actually, I'm just in a better place than I've ever been. I don't actually need to do that now.
Yeah, and I find myself like, don't get too confident, the other shoe's gonna fall. Like I did have a little bit of a like got plateau after Thanksgiving and the candy challenge. And I'm like, but I didn't have anything. Like I just ate like I was on my plan and all that, was I hungry and stuff. And then this week I lost a big amount that I've not ever lost in all these weeks, and I'm like, okay, that wasn't real. It probably wasn't. There's something wrong. Like, so sometimes that's where my thinking is, that negative, like stop and think, you got to stop, your brain. And sometimes that's more challenging.
Yeah, but I want you to notice you're doing exactly like this is as probably as good as it's going to get for the rest of your life. Every single person is going to have doubts, fears, and worries their entire life. There is no erasing doubts, fears, and worries. The solution that you already have. That you need to just be like, oh, this was the magic that was always missing. I already have the ruby slippers on my feet. Is I know when my brain says things that they're not real. I understand now, like the other shoe is going to fall, drop. Like you said, my brain thinks those things. You just have to switch one small thought. I think these things, therefore, something must not be right. Instead of, I think these things, therefore, now that I'm noticing it, it's not a problem anymore. As long as you notice it and you know it's bullshit, it doesn't matter if you think it 1,000 times. I think ridiculous shit all the time. In fact, sometimes I even catch myself thinking something and then I laugh and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like that is hilarious. Like, I even know it's not true, and yet my brain is like, wait a minute, are you sure? It's like, no, I'm pretty sure. But like for you, it's this idea of you keep telling me these thoughts, and then you tell me like why it's not true, and then you tell me, but my brain keeps thinking them. It's like, yeah. Like, don't you kind of like, I want y'all to think about this. I love it when my brain offers me nonsense because it just means it's trying to keep me out of danger. It doesn't know any other way than to say, like, ooh, let me give you something scary to think about. That'll get your attention. Because if it just like passively said, wow, Mary, you're doing so great. I mean, maybe something bad will happen, but you know what? We should just be ultra confident and just blah, blah, blah. I mean, I kind of want my brain to be like, hey, I just want to make sure you know this could be a problem so that I can go in and say, like, thank you. I don't think it's going to be a problem because of this. I would much rather my brain highlight all the problems it thinks I could step into so that I can tell myself, no, it's not going to happen. No, that's not going to happen for this reason. Or I'm already working on this, or this is already happening. Then for my brain to just be oblivious to things. And then I'm just constantly getting slapped in the face all the time with reality. It's like if you're driving down the interstate and there's semi trucks blazing by you at all times, like I mean hammering, like they like Cannonball Run back in the day. And you're just like in a little bitty Yugo. I'm really dating myself by using the term Yugo and Cannonball Run. I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. But you're sitting there. Do you want to be just like, oh, well, I don't think anything will hit me. I'm just going to drive like I normally do. And this is great. And I'm going to even go at every semi that comes by. Would you like your body to kind of get tense and say, like, there's an awful lot of fucking traffic. We better pay attention. I hope these truck drivers don't squash me. I should maybe I'll move over to a lane they're not in. Which one would you hope to be?
The beeper. But I will tell you, I was driving in a snowstorm last night up here in Ohio, and I was like more the one that moved over to the side and hoped nobody would hit
What?
me.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, I would much rather be that person because I'm now erring on the side of safety.
Yeah.
Or I can just drive like an asshole and be like, I don't give a fuck. It's a snowstorm. How I normally drive, I just think everything will work out. I
Yes.
got God in my pocket. He doesn't care how I drive.
Yep,
That
I do
old
one too.
joke. Like, your brain is like this old joke. And you've probably all heard it. There was a guy, he's in his house, the floods are coming. So he goes upstairs and they come by his house and they try to, you know, say, like, come on, we're gonna rescue you, we're gonna get you out. He's like, oh no, God's gonna save me. So he lets the first person that tried, like the first group go by. He goes into the attic and they come by on a speedboat. Come on, get in the boat. Waters are rising. He's like, no, God's gonna save me. Gets on the roof. They got a helicopter lowering a basket. He's like, no, God's gonna save me. Well, he drowns and dies, goes to heaven, and is like, why didn't you save me? He's like, well, I sent you a cop, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. What else the fuck did I need to send? And that is like us with our brain. Our brain is just like, I'm trying to tell you, like, you know, the other shoe might drop. But your job is not to just suddenly get afraid and just be like, oh my God, I need to act like I'm panicked. Your job is to say, I hear you. Here's what I'm doing so the other shoe doesn't drop. Here's what I know. You'll always warn me if something seems like it's going bad. I'm happy to listen. What do you think is going to happen? Like, I always like to talk to my brain like that. It's like, if I'm like worrying the shoe's going to drop, I like to like journal. What do I think's going to happen? What is my brain imagining? Because I need to see that so I can talk to my brain about it. I can reassure my brain. My brain is sending me a boat, a cop, and a helicopter, and I'm just like, no. My brain shouldn't be thinking all those things. Don't be that
Yeah. No, I think the mindset shift, like when I lost the weight before, I really am in the work, but I wasn't doing the mindset work. And this time, I really am more focused intentionally on the mindset piece, along with the, okay, it's just a number on the scale. Remember that. Like I'll have to say, it almost sounds like childish. Like I get on the scale and I go, okay, remember, don't beat yourself up because it went up or down or whatever. You just are trying to check to see, are you on track or do you need to look at what you're eating?
So you can
So,
call that childish, or you can call it rewiring your brain.
yeah, it's true.
Because that is exactly what rewiring your brain requires. Talking to yourself in the way you want it to one day naturally think. That's
Yeah.
not childish. That's actually PhD level work. I mean, that is serious shit. Most of the world doesn't rewire their brain. Most of the world is just like, fuck me. Oh my God, the scale's up. I mean, it's like most of us just are women. We're just gonna worry about it. We're just gonna think the scale is telling us how we should feel about ourselves. And you're like doing the hard work of rewiring your brain.
Yeah. And I guess, we'll be doing it till we go home.
Till we draw our last breath.
That's right.
You
So.
will. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I would like to be on my deathbed going out knowing that I did everything humanly possible to think and feel the way I would most want to think and feel in this world. That I was always trying to give myself a better life. I was always examining what I was thinking, really listening to my fears and stuff. Because the people who don't do that are the ones on their deathbed with a ton of regrets.
Yeah.
Because they never thought they had control over things. They wished for things and didn't think they could do it because of how they thought.
Okay. Well, thank you. I have one other question, and it
Go
really
ahead.
is
Nobody else has
something,
their hand up.
it's something very different. I have multiple. I am not doing a GLP-1. I'm not for or against. I mean, like, if people need to do it, just because my medical, the doctor said, to kind of not go that route. I mean, that's not the only reason. Fear is the other, but that's a whole nother issue. But a very three or four of my closest friends are, and I want to. I support them. I think, like I'm always like, hey, do it. What if that's what you guys are, for you and you're comfortable with. But if you guys ever in the GLP group can think about, like, some of your friends do want to support and help, like not help, but just to be a support as they're going through it. I'm not real sure what my question is, or but I know your brain and I know you'll figure it out. I don't know your brain, but I know you have that kind of thinking of what I'm trying to say is, like the one is my best friend for like 50 some years and her thinking is still very restricted. I said to her one day, I'm like, you and I have been doing Weight Watchers and stuff since we're 15. We are now 68. Let's stop talking restriction and let's stop talking all this other crazy stuff together. And she's right on board. She's like, yep. She said, I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm kind of doing it to her. So I think just being a supporter to them, I'd like to hear a little more of how people are taking some steps to supporting each other. Women can sometimes be our best and worst enemies. I
I
always
think you're
say
doing it
more to,
naturally. I think the
yeah.
best way to support people that are it's not it doesn't matter if you're on the shot. It's like anybody who's losing weight differently than you.
Yeah. That's true.
5 years ago, there was the Optavia craze, the shakes. And
Yeah.
so, we would have women wanting to get like coached on, well, my friend's losing all this weight because she's slugging shakes like it's her life. Like that's all she's ever going to eat. And I'm sitting here doing all this emotional work and, blah, blah, blah. So how do I not be mad? Or how do I support her, even though if I feel like she's doing it wrong? It's like, and I'm not saying you're thinking that they're doing it wrong. The best way to support someone, I always think, is just to listen to them. And
True.
literally hold no judgment. You know, if somebody, however somebody wants to do their shit, that is their choice. And they always have reasons that make sense to them or they wouldn't be doing it. And usually their reasons won't make sense to us because our reasons are always going to be very different. We have our own unique perspectives. We have our own life experiences. We have our own fears, our own health. We have our own stuff. And so when I just think about it in the term of if one of my friends is doing something that I'm not doing, that doesn't make either one of us right or wrong. It just means that we have each found something that we think in the moment's going to work for us. And you know, I just don't hold judgment. And I just figure like they'll talk about it, and as long as you listen to it, you'll probably figure out where you can support her. You'll figure out the places where you might need to support yourself. You know, like I've had friends in my past who were very, for lack of a better term, the second that they were losing weight, this is way back in my day when I was pretty overweight. I had this one friend of mine. She was always up and down the scale about 25 pounds. And if she was down her 25, I mean, everybody had to hear it. What she's eating, how we should all eat, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, how, you know, she's finally found Jesus and, you know, in the diet land, you know. And I remember back then it just being so hard on me. And I just had to remember, like, she is so excited and proud. For her, this talking about it like that probably reassures her that she's not going to regain weight. For me, it's triggering because right now I'm struggling. And that's on me to work on. That's not because she's talking about it. It's just when she happens to talk about it, I'm eating through my struggles. And when she's talking, I can't eat. So I have to listen and deal with my shit. That's why it's hard on me. And so I just think just listen. Don't hold judgment, just like you're already doing. Sounds like you and your friend navigated just fine. And then just remember, it doesn't matter which one y'all do, whether it's shots or no BS or a combination of both. Everybody can get to their weight loss just fine. And for I know for our GLP-1 users inside of our group, they will say the emotional work is very important. Because, you know, when you go on the shots, you really like this is, I think, the only thing I don't like about them that I feel like there's got to be. And one of the things I want to, this is one of the things I want to do for next year because we do have a lot of members that want to use them and I have no problems with that. But they're getting such little instruction on how to take care of themselves. You know, they're
And that's
basically
huge.
just not eating, still got their emotional shit, and they're not eating the protein they need to not destroy their muscle. And they're also not lifting weights. Because if you're on any kind of weight loss, you really have got to make sure you're taking care of your nutrition some. You can't just eat very little food and waste away because your body's design is to waste your muscle and bone first, your fat last. That is just normal design. And for women, it's really hard to get that shit back once it's gone. You can, but it's a lot easier to lift weights on the way down and to add the protein on the way down than it is to lose a lot of weight and be left weak, vulnerable, and you know, a tripping hazard, you know.
And I think that's important with as I'm moving forward this time around. I just said to my husband, I got to get back to strength training because I stopped a couple of years ago when I messed up my back and I messed up my knees. And I'm like, oh, it hurts so bad. And then I'm like, no, it doesn't really hurt. It's just that you haven't been in a habit of doing
Yeah. Start slow. Start really slow. Like, you know, I have lifted for so long that like right now I'm on a 3-day split. If I had to take, it's like if when I've had plastic surgery in the past, you know, you have to take like 8 to 12 weeks off when you have plastic surgery. You're not allowed to do anything. I mean, at best you can walk some after a little while, but you cannot lift weights or you're gonna fuck everything up. Last thing you want to do is spend a shit ton of money on plastic surgery and then have like, you know, an implant pop out or something. You don't want none of that. So I'm serious. When I would start back, I would always start back with one day a week, really light, just for a few weeks to get back into the habit of going, not blowing out my muscles, remembering that like you're never starting from scratch, but you cannot start back where you were. Your body is not built. If you've taken time off from lifting weights, it's not built to just jump back in where you were. Even now, when I do, like I'm doing full body splits right now, if I want to go to, let's say, a 5 day split, and I've done those in the past, I can't go back to 5 days with each body part getting its own day at the weight I was 3 months ago. Unless I want all my joints hurting, unless I want to risk an injury. So I always have to, when I do that, I always have to cut back a lot of the weights and build back up again. That's just smart. So if you want to get back into it, what I would encourage you to do is plan one day a week for the next 4 weeks for 30 minutes to get your body reacclimated to making time for working out. For if you only have one day to argue with yourself about going, that's a lot easier than having 4 or 5 days to argue. So in the beginning, it's like we prove to our brain, this is okay. This is not as bad as I thought it would be. This is actually worth it. Like all the little things we overcome in just one. We take a small step that gets us in motion. Then you'll kind of feel naturally like, huh, I'd like to go twice a week. It's a lot easier to go 2 times a week because you want to, instead of going from the very beginning, what you think you should be going simply because you think that's what you should be doing. That's really hard to start. But when you're kind of drawn to it, you just naturally get back into the groove.
Okay.
So start it back up. It'll be good for you.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye
All
bye.
right. Bye.
Oops. All right. Anne?
Okay.
Hey, how are you?
Glasses make me look like Carol Channing. Okay, so I had lost 108 pounds, and then I started having issues with my back and menopause. I regained 70 of those. I have since lost 35 of that. So I'm still up 35 pounds, and
No,
I just.
you have lost X amount. Never say that. Tell me what the benefit of you saying is, well, I'm still up 35 pounds. Tell me the benefit of that.
Because I gotta lose that. That's what I gotta get
Is
back
it
to losing.
easier to look? Would it be easier for you to say, I've lost, how much have you lost? Relost 30,
Of 35.
35, and you just need to lose what? 30 more?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me which one sounds better. I've already lost 35 pounds. There's only 30 more to go. I'm more than halfway there. Or, I've lost 35 pounds, but there's still 30 from the regain I still need to deal with.
Well, definitely the first one sounds better. But
Yeah.
but I can't take these glasses. Sorry.
You're fine.
I can't see you, but I can't. I've according to like not like what you were talking about in your last call, I tried the GLP once. I had no success. My blood sugars went up. Insurance didn't cover it, so I was paying through the ass for it. And so the doctor stopped me because they said that I was a non-responder. And then A doctor told me that I was a genetic metabolic nightmare and that I may never lose this weight again.
I
But I
go
have
see another
friends.
doctor immediately.
I had, but
Immediately. That's one man's opinion or
it was
one
a
woman's.
woman too. Well, it was a
Well,
woman.
man or woman, whatever. That's why I said, or a woman.
And then she sent me to a nutritionist, and it's the same one my sister went to, who right away they just put her on my sister on the shots. For me, she said, "Well, you got to count your calories." I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to count calories. You got to, you know."
You
And
don't
she's
have to.
telling
You're
me,
already down 35 pounds. Your body is saying, I lose weight just fine, listening to myself. You had lost 70. When you regained 70, was it because you're a metabolic mess or did something happen and you were eating your face off again?
oh, I had back issues and had to have major back surgery.
Yeah. And were you like sad about your back surgery or in pain and eating to get through it?
And it, yeah.
Yeah. That's not a metabolic mess. That's called emotional eating at its finest.
And so, but I mean, with her saying that, this would have got going through my head all the time. I've got my sister and sister-in-law and best friends are all on GLP-1s, dropping weight like it's nothing. I work out an hour and a half to 2 hours, 6 days a week. And I'm happy for them that they're losing the weight, but I have this jealousy in me that they're losing and I'm not.
But you are losing.
I haven't, you know, I guess it's been about 2 or 3 months since I've lost a pound.
Okay, let me ask you about the 2 or 3 months then, because it's really like what I think jealousy shows is I want that. And now we just need to figure out, and it's not you want the shot, it's that I just want to be losing weight. It's all I want to be doing. So we can coach on jealousy. Or we can coach on what's been going on for 2 or 3 months where the weight's not moving. If you had to guess, and it wasn't nutrition and being a metabolic mess, is there anything in your control the last 2 to 3 months?
I'm not getting my water in.
Okay, well, there's number you're if you're a metabolic mess, then if you'd like to put gas on the fire of metabolism tanking, then don't drink your water. That is totally in your control. What
And I
else?
don't get sleep. I don't get sleep. I go to bed early, but
What happens?
I mean, if I look at my watch, I've got like a minute of deep sleep throughout the night and stuff.
Girl, you and me both. That deep sleep, that is the elusive one for me. I have tried everything. Like, I read that Aura app all the time on like the 4,000 things you can do to get deep sleep. My husband gets like an inordinate amount. I get like nothing. It's become a running joke.
I
But
get less than
do you
1%.
get, yeah, do you get sleep though? Do you get at least 7 hours of sleep, whether it's deep or not?
Between 6 and 7
Okay, that's fine.
of time in bed, it basically is what it is.
And time in bed counts. It does
Okay.
count. Okay. Anything else with your food?
I would think it's the carbs. I eat too much carbs. I don't get enough protein. But I just have
Okay.
this
So if
thing.
you were going to be on the shot, you'd have to get enough protein. So that's one thing that's totally in your control is you could up your protein, whether you're on a shot or not.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, she told me to do 100 grams of protein a day. And I don't know. I guess I have a mental block about counting the grams and counting the calories, and
Okay, 100 grams of protein is 400 fucking calories a day. 400, that is nothing. You don't have to measure or anything. Do you eat 3 times a day?
yes.
Make a fist for me.
It's a big one.
That's how much protein you need at each meal.
Yeah.
Can you eat that much chicken or steak or egg whites, fish, anything like that?
Probably so, but what I would hit the protein with would be a protein bar.
Do
And
what?
it's, I do more protein bars than I do.
I would do food instead of protein bars. What would be, what would it, if I told you no more protein bars, you have to eat it in food, what comes up for you?
I gotta eat bacon or I gotta eat eggs. And I gotta cook those. I
You could go
plan, I
buy
cook all
rotisserie
my meals.
chicken.
I do buy
Debone
the
that
rotisserie
son of a
chicken.
bitch. All right. Like, you don't have to cook to get your protein in. You know,
I
I don't
mean
cook, right?
I cook every day for dinner. I don't wanna have to do it for breakfast and lunch. You know,
Wouldn't for breakfast and lunch. What could you eat at breakfast? Do you like Greek yogurt?
I do. I have some of the Greek yogurt in the
All
fridge right
right.
now,
Get you,
the
all you
protein.
got to do is go get Okios Greek yogurt, the one that's high, the 20 grammer. Okay. That's the one I eat. You eat two of those. Berries of choice thrown in there, fruit of choice thrown in there. That's 40 grams done. And all you had to do is pop the lid of two yogurts. Can you do that?
I can't because I have them in my fridge right now.
All right. So I just want you to see your brain is like, I gotta cook bacon and eggs every morning. And I'm like, really? And you're like, well, I mean, I've got that yogurt in my refrigerator. I wonder why I'm not having those ideas. I wonder why Corinne can easily have those ideas, but for some reason, I don't want to eat protein. Probably because you have this idea that you're also eating too many carbs. Tell me about that, because I think that's the more interesting thing. Why do you think you're, when you say I'm eating too many carbs, what does that even mean to you?
I guess because I have carbs at almost every meal, whether it's a slice of bread or
I do
I'll
too.
do
Are you a
toast.
diabetic and I don't know it?
Yeah, I am diabetic.
Okay.
I was
So that.
diabetic and then I lost 108 pounds and my diabetes went down and then it went
Okay.
up slightly and that's when they put me on the Mounjaro. And it jumped way up. So now
That's
I'm
fine.
back
Okay.
to being diabetic.
Okay. So you're diabetic. So that would mean you've got to listen to your body. Which means if you think you're eating too many carbs, why don't you stop eating them?
Their comfort, I guess. They're
Ah, so finally you landed the plane. This weight has nothing to do with shots. It has nothing to do with being a metabolic mess. I'm comfort eating. Why do you need to comfort eat? What is it doing for you?
It's something to do. I'm retired. I retired young, early. And all I have to do is I go to the gym and I really don't do much of anything else. A friend of mine at the gym said, find joy. You got to find joy in something. And I'm like, I guess I'm finding joy in eating. I found joy in working out. I love to work out, but I guess my joy is to eat. I don't have any joy in my life.
Okay, now we're getting to it. And this is why it's so important to not just blindly believe nutritionists and doctors. Your problem isn't that you're a metabolic mess. Your problem is that you're sad because you don't have anything right now to look forward to. And food is helping you not feel bad about not having joy. That's why it's so important for you to hear this. Because it's going to be really hard. Like right now, I want you to think about it. If the, like taking away carbs makes sense in terms of I'm a diabetic, but in the moment when I'm lonely and don't have anything to do, there's probably in those moments where you're questioning your life or you're like, you know, if you just think about it. If you don't have, if you don't really love your life right now, Like, I really like the gym. I find joy there. But, the rest of the day, if I've got a lot of time and nothing to distract me, and I don't have joy, then my brain is going to run wild with stories.
It
Like,
does,
you're
yes.
alone. Exactly. It's
And
going to, it's,
the thing is, I'm not alone. My husband's retired too. We're both
I
fine
don't.
together, but he's, I don't know.
I don't
Yeah.
always, just because there's somebody else in the house doesn't mean that you don't feel lonely.
Okay.
I mean, and I don't know, but you were going to say something about your husband. He's what?
He has stuff he likes to go out and do, you know. Go work. He loves bonsai trees. He loves to go do that. He loves, and he can sit on a sofa and watch TV for hours at a time.
Yeah.
That's, I feel like I'm being lazy if I do that.
Are you being lazy?
No, he'll tell me, you're not being lazy. You were at the gym for 2 hours this morning.
Yeah.
You
Well, why do you think you're being lazy when you watch TV?
because I'm not physically doing something.
But aren't you retired? Do you have to be physically doing something?
I think at my age, I should be.
Or you worked out for 2 hours a day. You're probably more
Yeah.
active than most people your age.
Oh, I am. I'm pretty sure I am. More active than a lot of people at the gym.
So here's the thing, Anne. I want you to do a couple of things. Number one is we've got to detach. It's like if you're watching TV, that doesn't mean you're being lazy. You're just watching TV. And you've got like, you have to decide. They're like, you're Anne, and my mom's name happens to be Anna. So this is a perfect example. My mother is almost retired. The only reason why she works for me, her little 20 hours a week, is so that she can make just enough money to not trip her Social Security from getting taken away. She just wants to have like some blow money. And I make her work because otherwise my mama sits around and watches TV all day long. She doesn't go to the gym for 2 hours. If my mother would go to the gym for 2 hours a day, I would not make her work. But I know my mother. She's gonna sit and watch Leave It to Beaver, SEC Nation, Paul, what's his name on the SEC Network. Feinbaum, old Alabama games all day. And she'll be real happy doing it. But I know my mother, she's got to do something else. Otherwise, she gets kind of, she don't feel bad about it. But if you don't have something in your life that challenges you, you can get, like, I just worry about her. She needs
Yeah.
something. So the reason why I'm saying this is because, like, for my mom, watching TV all day long, she feels like she's earned the right to watch television all day. She did all the years. She is retired. To her, that's like great. She don't call it being lazy. She's like, I was so not lazy for so many years. I'm in the hole. It's going to take me a long time to balance the scales. A lot of watching TV. Now, for you sit there after working out for 2 hours a day and you're calling that lazy instead of just saying, I just need to decide. There's lots of options for me. I can stop beating myself up for watching television and enjoy my retirement. I can open my mind up to the idea that I am retired. I may have to try a lot of things to figure out what brings me joy. I figured it out at the gym. Maybe there's other things. Maybe TV will be part of that. Who knows? But I think that that is why you're having a struggle for the last 2 to 3 months, is that you're in the place right now that if you're not going to lose any more weight until you can remove your comfort eating. But it's really hard to remove comfort eating if you don't replace it with something that's comforting.
Right.
And to replace it with something that's comforting is a few things. Never call yourself lazy for watching television. I'm watching TV because I've earned the right to not do anything. I don't have to do anything if I don't want to. That is the definition of retirement. Now, if I don't like sitting around watching television, it's not going to be because I'm lazy. It's going to be because something in me is saying, I would like to find things for myself. And that's going to require courage because I'm going to have to try things. I may have to put myself in situations I'm not used to. I may have to learn new things. I may have to feel stupid for a little while. It's like I've wanted to learn how to play pickleball forever. You know, the one thing that slows me down from learning how to play pickleball? I know I'm going to suck at it, and I don't want other people to think that I'm slowing them down. It ain't my schedule. It's nothing to do anything other than I don't like looking like a newbie. And until I decide to look like a newbie, guess what? I ain't going to be playing pickleball. I might not find something that I enjoy. So, like, what do you want to do about this? Knowing that you ain't got a, you really don't have a carb problem and you really don't have a metabolic problem. What you really have is my doctor doesn't appreciate that I eat carbs for comfort. This has nothing to do with anything else other than I am retired and I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I do, I volunteer with the American Cancer Society, and I drive patients to their appointments and
Okay.
back. So when I really get down, I'm like, okay, just look for a ride. There's always somebody that needs a ride. But then I live in New Orleans. It's not a safe place to be. And a lot of them are in the inner city, and I'm like, I don't feel safe doing the rides for them. I mean, they need it, but I don't feel safe going in the city to do it. But, I just did one on Friday, and I've done the same lady for multiple times, and I get to know her, and I just, that brings me joy, knowing that she can't get to her appointments if someone doesn't bring her, and she doesn't have family here, and being able to do that for somebody else, really,
Why
that's what
not?
I
If
enjoy doing.
you enjoy doing that, why not make a list of all the different ways that you can figure out ways to volunteer where you help people? There's nursing homes. I'm always telling Logan, he loves to talk to people. I mean, loves it. That's why he goes to a lot of restaurants and stuff because he can get the ear of the server and the bartender. And I told him, I was like, you really should volunteer at nursing homes. They would love to talk to you about the stuff you love to talk about because they don't have anybody to talk to. A lot of like nursing homes are a lot of people that have no one. Their families do not live close. No one visits them. No one takes an interest in them. There's hospice centers. I mean, if you want to think about it, if you know like what really makes me feel good is when I'm helping other people. Make a list of different places where you could help people and fill your time with that. And that might bring you some joy and take the pressure
And
off of carbs to make you feel like you're enjoying yourself.
I mean, I wanted to try some hobbies too, but as soon as I start them, if they don't come out just right, I give up. I wanted to learn to crochet. I wanted to do it, but being left-handed, it was very hard, and I couldn't get it, so I'd rip it apart, do it again, rip it apart. I wanted to paint. I mean, as a kid, I used to draw and paint all the time. Now it's like I find the imperfections in it all and just I quit.
So this would be interesting. What if you looked at painting and learning how to crochet as the path to figuring out how to never beat yourself up again? That you are actually going to make yourself do things that you like are hard on yourself because it's not perfect, and you're like, you know what? This is going to be school for me. This is how to be nice to Anne school. So every time I mess up, this gives me an opportunity to rewire my brain on how I talk to myself. So if I don't do it right, I say like, all right, this is a hobby. That means I get to tear it up and try again. Nobody cares.
Right.
I'm the one
Because
that's being hard on myself. So I have to unwind the way I'm talking to myself. Like you could use that as an opportunity to be nice to yourself, to learn how to be nice to yourself when things aren't perfect.
I'm looking at a pink thing right there. I've been having it for about a year. I think I've painted an inch of it. I paint by number. I just did an inch of it. I was like, oh. I went outside the lawns and I screwed it up. I'm no good, not good at it.
Right. That is like when you're doing things like that, that is your brain's way of saying, I'm talking to you like this because I don't know how else to. And I would love it if you would teach me a new way.
Yeah.
Because the only thing
I
I
mean,
know, go ahead.
something you said in the last call, and in between the calls, I went and talked to my husband about it. It hit me hard because I grew up with, at your side, you're not good enough. You're never gonna, and it was not my mom, it was my aunts. You're never gonna meet someone at your size. Or my sister lost weight, and it just happened to be the time when she met her husband, and I got told on my aunt, you see, she lost weight and she met someone. And my husband's like, Aunt, you did meet someone. We have a great marriage. I mean, he met me at my
Good.
heaviest in a bathing suit. And he still fell in love. But it's hard for me to accept that love because of my size.
Why don't you spend this time rewiring your brain? You've got so much to work on in your retirement. Oh my
I,
God,
well, I am
like you could
I
rewrite
am
that
signed up and
story. Your brain was so wrong. And you're just like, but I'm going to believe my brain, even though my reality is very different.
I mean I hadn't even thought about that until the last call, and I think it was just something you were answering a question, and it was like this light bulb went off in my head, like those aunts that told me that had been dead and gone for 30 years, but I still in my head I hear them. Two old
Yeah, you're
Italian aunts.
supposed to,
Look how
right,
fat she is.
and you're supposed to hear all of that so that you can learn how to be there for yourself. So you can learn how to not let other people's opinions rule your life. We are supposed to hear those thoughts so that we can be there for ourselves in a new way instead of just like, oh my God, I learned all that. I guess my life sucks. Like
Yeah.
you have plenty of things to work on in retirement that will bring you joy. The question is, are you going to allow yourself joy? Because the only way to get
Hard
it
part.
is for you to decide, my joy is worth it to me, which means I need to like think about the things I think about. And I have a lot of things that taught me in my past that have created this harsh inner critic who calls me lazy for watching television, who I've been married forever, and somehow, like the voices of my aunts have convinced me that I guess this isn't real, whatever that is. I have
Exactly.
a part of me that is a perfectionist that denies me doing things I would enjoy simply because. When I'm new, I'm hard on myself at it. Instead of when I'm new, I'm understanding that that's part of being new at something. It's messy before it's good.
Well,
You've got
I am
so
signed
much
up for
joyful
private
work
coaching.
ahead of you. It's
Well,
incredible.
I am signed up for private coaching. And I start that in 2 weeks with Coach Lizzie. So
Lizzie
that's
will help you with this, and this is, I
Christmas
want you to
gift to
take.
myself.
I want you to tell Lizzie to listen to this call. That you will lose. I am confident, Anne. I would bet anything on it. That this 30 pounds will come off with no problem. If you focus more on what I told you to focus on than to focus on what some douchebag female doctor said about your metabolism. She diagnosed you as a metabolic mess. Without even asking, why are you eating carbs when you know you're diabetic? All I did was ask you, Because it makes sense to me. If you know you're diabetic, you probably shouldn't be having carbs. Why would you be ingesting something that you know could harm you? All I did was ask you that one question, and we got to this.
Yeah.
Think of like all the things we just uncovered. You fix these things, you're gonna feel amazing. And you fix these things, you don't even have a need for carbs anymore. Your body is going to be like, thank you. Like, I'm enjoying my life, but more importantly, I enjoy myself now. So it'll be easy for me to not need you food anymore because I've got what I really want. I've got the comfort in knowing that I enjoy myself. And then you and food are going to be friends and you'll be able to eat however you need to eat, you know, without it feeling like work. But it feels like work when a nutritionist tells you, and I have nothing against nutritionists. I have nothing against, like, I believe they're science. But I get disgusted when someone's diagnosed scientifically without even considering emotionally what's happening. Because a nutritionist can tell you all day long, you know, eat this many grams of protein, only eat this many grams of carbs, eat this many calories. But you're sitting over here hating yourself most of the time, judging yourself most of the time, worrying yourself to death most of the time, calling yourself lazy. It's like, that ain't gonna work.
Right.
That emotional shit is the emergency in the room. Diabetes will harm you later. Right now, the house is on fire and the body is saying, and get me some bread, stat. That'll put it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Have
Okay.
Lizzie watch this call because I want y'all focused on this work because I guarantee when we work on this, hunger enough, choosing what you're going to eat, well, that will be the easy part. This stuff is the hard part because you're literally changing how you think about yourself.
Yeah, I will text her. I will send her an email today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I believe in you. I'm so glad you got coached.
I had my hand up and I'm like, no, put it down. You know, I was scared because just scared. But thank you.
You're welcome. I think you're going to do great. And Lizzie will take good care of you. And she's not a yeller like me. You did good, Anne. Thank you. All right. Melanie, I'm going to pull you up. We'll grab you real quick. And then Lynn, I said, I found, she said, I found Regain Reset. That's the one you want. I was saying restart because I'm just like literally, if y'all knew how much shit I've been writing here lately, you'd probably be amazed, honestly, because I have been a workhorse behind the scenes. But reset is actually what the Regain is. Start. I just got my words confused. Start is what we're going to be doing in the workshop. That is like the new, like, this is how we start. This is how we start off with a bang. This is how we start off the new year. This is how we do fresh, you know, fresh start mentality, that kind of stuff. So they're two different things, similar in nature, except for start, you don't need all the identity work. Regain, you need the identity work. So if I confuse that, I'm so sorry, everybody. All right, Melanie, let's see if we can get you up. If anybody's wondering, I'm drinking this thing called Slate Ultra Protein, high protein milkshake. It's called salted caramel. Some bullshit Crisp keeps in the fridge. I just found it out there. Tastes pretty good. It's 180 calories and it's got and 42 grams of protein in one delicious little shake. Now, the reason why I'm drinking it is because, as you know, I had back-to-back calls today. So when I got home from church, I only had so much time to get on the first call. And then we had y'all, and I didn't have time to eat. Plus, my in-laws are upstairs. And if I went upstairs, like they were going to start talking to me and I'd be late for y'all's call. All right, I'm going to try one more time, Melanie. Let's see if you come up. You may not want to get coached. Your hand may just be up by accident. Sometimes that happens to us. Huh? It just looks like you're not coming. All right. We have already been going at it for an hour. Yeah, Melanie's declining. Dylan, I'll grab you real fast. You came in at the last hot second. It's called Slate, Christy. Yes. Slate. It's really good. I was shocked how good it is. Oh, so Christy, I wanted to tell you one last thing. You said that you're fixing to have to be off for 4 to 8 weeks or whatever for a surgery. Here's how I got through every one of my surgeries. So, because I couldn't go to the gym and I couldn't work out, and that was like a big piece of my life, and I would always, I don't think I'd freak out now if I couldn't exercise. I think now I've convinced myself for so long that I'm just a natural exerciser that if for some reason I had to take a long swab, I don't think I'd ever worry about going back. I think I'd be jonesing to go back. So I don't worry about it anymore. But when in my earlier weight loss, it was very tied to like, I need to be in the gym, otherwise I'll regain my weight. There was a lot of panic and like scarcity mentality around it. I made an appointment with myself every single day called workout time. And workout time was anything I was allowed to do. So, like the first week of surgeries, I wasn't allowed to even hardly walk unless I walked for 5 minutes around the island. So, it went on my calendar. It was called workout time. I would do my 5 minutes around the island. I would spend the rest of the time meditating and doing all the other types of mental workouts and emotional workouts that I never did because I was always in the gym. So I always made sure that my recovery period had workouts scheduled so that I never got out of the habit of making time for working out. It just was a different way. So sometimes it was walking, a lot of times it was mental things. I did stretching that I could. If there was any PT involved, it was called workout time. The basis of it was be in the habit of making time for this important thing. So if I worked out for an hour a day, I just made sure there was 1 hour a day carved out specifically so that I never lost the habit of setting aside that time. Hopefully that'll help. All right, Dylan, let's do it fast. What you
That's
got?
why I put my hand down earlier because I was like, oh, I'm glad you picked Anne, though. That was really, really great. I really enjoyed her coaching. So, but I don't know how quick I can be, but I have been in maintenance for a really long time, but I have a range and I like upped the range a little bit because I mean, the honest truth is I really like having dessert at night and I eat great all day, but I kind of stopped my planning and I keep thinking that's the problem, but it is, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe on the weekends I could plan more. But the main problem is I've been doing really good work mentally and feeling like so much gratitude about where I am. But I feel good in my body. I really do. But when I see pictures of myself, I go right back to the feeling of like, man, I really want to lose more weight. And it's that, behind shot. I'm curvy. I know I'm curvy. I'm never going to be skinny and I'm okay with that. But I want to feel good about pictures. And I went from an extra large to a large and I'm like, that's great. All my clothes are smaller, my shirts are smaller, and that's what I wanted. But I know there's more I could do. I want that ice cream after dinner and sometimes I don't eat the carb or whatever. I'll have protein, a lot of veggies, and then think I have room for ice cream, and I know I'm not hungry. I'm not, and I still
Okay,
want
it's
it,
fine
and
if
it's
you want to maintain. If you're just wanting to maintain, you don't have to be hungry. You just have to, like, it's just like with me. If I want to have, like, you'll see sometimes when I post in y'all's daily menu thread, when we talk about this is my plan for the day, you'll see often I'll have on there, like, ice cream if I want it, protein muffin if I want it, like, whatever. If you're in maintenance,
but I'm
you don't
always going to
have,
want it. And I want to be in a lower
that's not
part of my
true.
range. That's not
It's
true.
not true that you're always going to want it.
But I always do. Like when dinner's finished, I'm like looking forward to it. And I try every other day. I'm going to
Right.
have dessert every other day because I used to be every day for sure. But now what I did was I really love candy corn. My favorite. So when they went on sale, I bought a whole bunch and I put it on this high cabinet that I have to go out of my way to reach. And I'll have like one little bowl of it and then I'll go back for maybe a second bowl. And I'm not making myself sick anymore, which is really an improvement because I used to just say, I can't stop. I'm addicted. And I'm not, I know that's not true anymore. But I still.
Right. Just like I'm going to always want it, might not always be true.
Okay, maybe.
You were very wrong about eating to sick and binging.
I
Weren't
don't,
you?
yes, I don't do that anymore.
Exactly.
And it's
So
like I felt
I'm
like I
not saying.
couldn't stop, and I know that I can stop.
Right. And you swore back in the day that would never happen.
Okay.
Now you're like living in a different reality. Only thing I want you to open your mind to, you don't have to stop eating the ice cream. You just need to stop telling yourself, there will never be a day I won't want this. Because if you keep telling yourself that, why would your brain ever even question if you want it? If you just keep telling your brain, no, this is the way it is, I will always want it. Your brain's like, all right, well, I don't even have to consider if you want it or not. And the decision's been made. We're always going to want it. I don't have to negotiate. I don't have to question you. I don't have to do anything. You've decided.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out real quick because one of my biggest problems besides that is the gummies and the like I haven't been smoking pot because I'm singing and I'm really like not enjoying when the smoke hurts my voice, but I feel like and I got myself down to once a week and I feel like there's not a problem there. But the biggest issue with gummies is that when I get really stoned and I can sexy talk my way into any food. And I'm
Right.
like,
You
oh,
need to
I hear
get, first
you.
of all, you need to get gummies. There are strands that don't trigger you to eat. That's the ones I use.
Well, how do you know which ones? I asked, like,
I
I
will
asked.
ask Chris. Chris knows.
Well, can you tell me which ones don't
I
trigger
can't
me?
right now because he's literally upstairs with his mother, his father, his stepmother, his brother, sister-in-law, and his niece. There's no way I'm gonna go up there and be like, babe, what's the strand of gummies that's not gonna make you wanna like nosh your face off? Can you
I'm like,
imagine?
I keep telling myself, this is what I do for fun, but it's so not true anymore, Corinne. I'm like, I have fun
Then
without it.
when that happens, you have to don't tell Corinne it's not true. Tell Dylan. When you think this is what I do for fun, you're still like,
Everyone's
no, it's
laughing.
not. Do what? Yes. That's because I would go upstairs like the Kool-Aid man and just like I'm sure there would be at least three people that would shit on my fine ass furniture. And I don't want to clean that up. So all right. You need to manage your thoughts better. Right now, what you're doing is you're just telling me things as if it's all just true. These are just empirical facts, Corinne. And they're not. They are what you think. Okay? We're not going to try to change the outcome yet. But you can't change an outcome unless there is a possibility that what you think might not be true. Otherwise, it doesn't, it nothing changes. All right. So, like, one is what is it that you said about the fun? Your words? Oh.
I tell myself that I have fun when I'm stoned, but I have
Okay.
fun when
That's
I'm
probably,
not too. Everyone tells me
and you
I'm
have,
different when I'm high, like more. So I'm Dylan on 10 instead of Dylan at 5. Like I'm always going to be
right.
up.
Most
This
people
is me
are.
without being
You know
stoned.
why? You know why that
Why?
happens? Because, so like drugs and alcohol, they have a very similar effect. And so does food, honestly. When you don't have, if you don't have something basically that's buffering your insecurities, then you are a muted version of you. So, like, let's say you're around people and you are, you know, without alcohol, without food, without drugs. You worry what they think. You in your head, you're worried people are judging you. You're not sure if you should say certain things. Like maybe you're real funny when you're drunk, but when you aren't drunk, you're worried you're not that funny. When you're drunk, you're not worried about that. You're just being usually your more natural self. Usually,
Yes.
what food, drugs, and alcohol allows us to do is be our natural self without our inner critic mouthing.
Which is why I
Okay.
do it, because I want to turn that voice off.
Right. So you're doing it with gummies and candy. I'm inviting you to do it through rewiring your brain, which means you have to start just like journaling about why you are funny, why you are something that people want to be around, why the natural version of you is amazing to be around.
But
Instead of,
I do know that. I do.
no, you don't. Not in the moment. You know it intellectually, you don't know it spiritually.
But I'm by myself when I'm thinking I want to get stoned and that I think it's going to feel good. Like I can dance around my house when I'm stoned, but not when I'm not. Why is that? I
Why?
don't get
Tell
it.
me. Tell me. Why not just dance right now? Turn the camera off and just get up and dance.
Because in my
What is
head, I'm
your...
like, I criticize my dancing and I'm like,
Exactly. When you're stoned, you're not an inner critic, just like I said. I'm inviting you to unwind the harsh inner critic in you. You're saying, no, I want to have fun. So I'm going to do a gummy. And I'm like, how about we learn how to have fun at any moment we want without having to be a gummy? That's going to require dancing. Listen to my brain saying, like, oh my God, you suck at this. This is so embarrassing. And you're like, calm yourself down and say, like, I am learning how to do this and realize that in the privacy of my own home, this is not embarrassing. It's only feeling embarrassing because I'm talking about it that way. And I want to teach myself how to tell myself I deserve to dance if I want to. I
but then
deserve
I
to
feel
look.
like I can't take the gummies then. If I get to learn how to do it, if I could do it on my own, then I'll never like get high. And that would, why would that
That
suck?
doesn't
It's
mean you
just.
don't ever know. Like, I just want you to see, like, your brain immediately goes to, so if I do this, I can't do that. I'm
I know it's
saying,
the black and white
what
thinking.
if you just learned how to like yourself? And I bet when you like yourself, you'll know exactly when you want to get stoned and when you're like, you know what? I can just leave it today. It's the same thing with food. How about I just learn how to, whatever ice cream and candy corn and stuff like that's doing for me, how about I just learn how to give that self to myself naturally? And then that way, when I want to have it, I know I'm having it from pure joy, not because I don't know how to get joy any other way. That is what I have done. I ate nachos the other day and I really enjoyed them. You know why I really enjoyed them?
Why?
Because it wasn't after a bad day, because I had planned for it, I looked really in forward to it. And I don't get them as often anymore because I'm only eating them when I really, really want them. I'm not eating them 3 and 4 times a week because I don't know how any other way to relax at night. I don't know any other way to enjoy myself. I don't have any other way to have a good time. And I also am not hard on myself when I'm eating them. And now I can have those foods and like really know I'm having them. Learn, just because you're
But
going
they
to
feel
learn to
so
love.
good. Like, how do you know that you're not going to just want them the next day? Like, I start thinking about it, like, oh, that was so much fun. And I guess my brain's like, I want to do that again.
Yeah, but if you really, really were in tune with yourself and you really, really enjoyed yourself and stuff, when your brain wants to do it again, a part of you that is not getting a voice right now is the higher self. The higher self is being pushed to the side. It's like, get out the boat. Here's a life preserver. Follow along if you can. Like me and gummies are in the boat. will happen is the higher self now gets to come in. It's like, I mean, I'm gonna tell you, if I ate nachos every night, it'd be a damn good time. Until I like literally would be like you. It's really fun when I'm doing it, but when I'm suffering the consequences, it's not. And now I don't have consequences to suffer with nachos. Now I know, like, oh, I'm going to have nachos. And then the next day, when I'm like, oh, we could have something else, I'm going to be like, no, we had a good time yesterday. Like, we're probably okay today. And here's the reasons why I want to eat this way today, because it's also a damn good time. It is a really good time to eat healthy and take a large poop every morning to wake up and my pants fit just fine. That's a damn good time, too. When you allow the higher self to have a voice, you have balance. When the higher self doesn't have a voice, only the inner critic, only the one of you that feels like she can't have joy unless she's doing this, the higher self gets no vote.
Okay.
So here's
Did
what
you ever
all of
read
this.
The Secret, The Greatest Secret?
No, I somehow missed that when it was really popular. It probably came out when I had
There's a
Logan.
new book called The Greatest Secret that I'm reading, because it didn't vibe with me in 2016 when it came out, or 2006 or whatever. Now she wrote The Greatest Secret, and it is trippy. And I'm like, huh. It's like the secret is we are awareness. That's our truer self. And that's kind of
Yep.
what you're teaching. It like, well, it is what you're teaching. And it's like, wow. I would love to get your take on that book.
I think it's probably just a rehash of everything I have ever read or talked to y'all about.
Probably,
I
but
mean, I always tell
it's like
you.
quotes and music I listen to, and it's quotes from Deepak Chopra and all like the big teachers and everything. And it's like our actual real self, who we really are, is not our mind and not our body, but our, like, I guess spirit or whatever you want to call it. I would love to know like what you thought of that.
It's everything I teach you. Like the part of you that notices, that is the higher
Be
self.
awareness. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is what you're
Yeah.
saying.
It's just, yeah, it's like when, I mean, just listen to what course did I just read? It was either the holiday one or it's now the regain one. I can't remember which one, but there's actually a section there called we're going to use notice and narrate. And in the next lesson, we're going to use pause plus permission. If you don't notice what's going on in your life, you will not live the life you want. You will live the life given to you by
Right.
anybody and everybody around you. Which means if we don't notice that we think the only time we can have fun is on a gummy. If we don't notice that it's like that is a red alert of our higher self saying, hey, you're not having fun in your life. You don't feel like you can
Or
do the things you
noticing the fun that you have in your life and making
either
that more
noticing what
important.
you have or noticing all the places you're denying it, like dancing in your living room. A gummy is not giving you permission to dance. You are not giving yourself permission to dance when you're not on a gummy. And that is the thought that I would be taking from this. It's like, what is it going to take for me to give myself permission to live the life I really want instead of telling myself, oh, I will always want candy. I will always want ice cream. It's like, no, I might not. Not if I'm really in tune with what I really want out of my life. I may not want that anymore. And I'll know when I'm noticing and I'm using my higher self. I will know exactly when I truly want it because then it will be real joy. And right now, it's not real joy. It's making up for the joy I don't experience. Okay. I know we weren't going to go that deep, but hell, we
I
did.
didn't, yeah. I know you're good. So I'm glad I
Somehow
raised
we
my
figured
hand.
it out in like 23 minutes.
Well, I just had therapy, so
There you go. There you go. You're going to be fine. You just keep noticing and notice that all of this is an invitation for you to just truly get to know your truest wants and desires. And your inner critic is usually the one that stands in between them. It's so afraid you can't have them, it stops you from even trying. And it's like most of them we actually can have. And if the worst thing that happens is we try really hard and we don't get it and we're disappointed, at least we know we couldn't have it. I don't want to die wondering what if. Okay.
I completely tuned out. I'm gonna have to listen to that again
That's okay.
on the
That's why we
replay.
have
Thank you,
replay.
Corinne. Thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome. Bye bye. All right, y'all. We are going to get out of here. I'm going to record two videos I have to record, and then I'm going upstairs and I'm going to see if the family is still here. I almost feel like I have told y'all my deepest, darkest secrets in these two calls. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all next time. Bye, y'all.